make some little explanation about why Pastor Roy's not up here. Today is Law Enforcement Day, and so we're doing recognition of law enforcement folks in both services. So he's doing that over there, and then he's going to come over here and do it here and share the message. So in case he's not here in time, we'll sing a couple of extra hymns at the end. So try to give you some heads up and so you know what's going on. But he is here, and he's going to preach today, and he's going to do the law enforcement recognition here. We're so glad you're here today. If you didn't get a chance to speak to every single person in here before you came in or when you came in, how about waving at them right now? Just give them a big wave. Okay. I'm glad to see you doing that. I thought maybe I'd catch a few people who had spoke to everybody. I'm not sure. We are so glad you're here today. We're having trouble with getting stuff on the screen, so you're probably going to have to sing with your hymn books today. We have those numbers, and we'll be giving those to you. Brad will be giving those to you as we sing. Let me lead you in a word of prayer before we begin. Our Father, we're so thankful for this beautiful day that you've given to us, for the privilege we have to be here and worship together as the family of God. Lord, we thank you for this special day of recognition when we recognize and show our appreciation for those who risk their lives every day for us as they keep the peace. Lord, bless our time together today. Bless our pastor even now, and bless the awakened church as they worship together. Lord, draw us close to yourself today. Have your will and your way in every heart and life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, David. Good morning. Please turn with me. As he said, we'll be needing our hymn books today, and we're going to go ahead and sing all four verses of each hymn as we build in a little extra time for Roy. So please turn to hymn 14, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. Please stand as we sing. Thank you.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, my King, our Creator.
6, The Solid Rock. Let's go to page 426, Victory in Jesus. That'll be great.
Thank you.
to 499, open our eyes, Lord. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Oh, so bad to say.
This is one of those days that I'm out of breath, I'm running, but it's a good day, amen? Yeah, this is that day that as we come together, and we've always chosen around Central Baptist Church to take the moment on the first Sunday in May to recognize those that are our law enforcement officers. And we are so grateful for the job that they do. I know that in a world that is completely backwards and completely different, they do not often get the words that they need, the words of encouragement, the words that lift them up. But today, we take this moment to recognize those that are in our presence. And I've always said this, here's something that I want you to do. I want you to just listen to some things about these folks that are moving in your midst. I guarantee you that what's going to happen is today you're going to learn something about one or more of these folks that you never knew before. And you'll be sitting back going, wow, I didn't know that about this person that sits beside me in church, or that that works with me along the way, or that greeted me at the door. So I just want you to take this moment as I tell you a little bit about these folks, and I want to call them up here because, like always, you know, we have something that we want to share with them, although it seems insignificant. It's just a little piece of something, but we want them to know how much we love and appreciate them. So to start with, I'm going to just get you folks to join me on the platform right up here behind me, if you would. First of all, I'm proud to introduce to you Tim Stewart. And Tim, as he makes his way down, Tim is actually going to be leaving here to go south into state, I guess. He's got some training that is going to be coming up that's actually going to start today. Come on up here, man. I want you up high. You know, get up on the pedestal up here. But Tim is with the North Carolina A&T State University Police. He currently holds the rank of lieutenant, badge number 903, works on patrol and night operations. He's a specialized driving instructor. He's a firearms instructor, a rapid deployment instructor, and a former SWAT operator and sniper. Now, that's not what you see when you see Tim around the church, is it? But I'll tell you one thing, he's good at what he does, and we're so glad to have him there. I know that North Carolina A&T, if they don't appreciate him, they should, because men like this are so very hard to find. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do, just hold your applause till we get done. I'm going to give you a time to be able to thank these guys. The next one I want to recognize is Fred Penson. Is Fred here today? Yeah, there he is. He's hiding. How could I miss that glare? As Fred makes his way up to the front, just a little bit about Fred. Fred works with the High Point University Police Department. He graduated from Emory-Riddle Aeronautics University with a bachelor's in aeronautical science. and all of his pilot certifications. He was a flight instructor in Greensboro and in Atlanta. He flew corporate aircraft for 4 years before deciding to give it up in the 1990s. He was a supervisor with Equifax in Atlanta for several years. Then he moved to Orlando, Florida. After the September the 11th, 2001 attacks, he wanted to give back to his community. And since he was too old to join the military, he joined the Orange County Sheriff's Office in Orlando, Florida, and was there as deputy and patrol for a year and returned home to the Greensboro Police Department, where he was there for, I guess, it was 16 years? It was 16 years before retiring in September of 2018. He was on patrol for 8 years and in community resources for the last six of his career there. He worked with communities and city resources to resolve larger issues that patrol was not able to solve. He was a traffic enforcement officer for the east side of Greensboro, and Fred said this is what taught him compassion and forgiveness. He was a police training officer. He was a pistol expert. He won six commendations, two life-saving awards, and he spent 5 years on an underwater recovery team, which is known as a dive team, where he would, of course, recover bodies or physical evidence after crimes. How many of you learned something about Fred today? Okay, that's what I thought. All right, next, we want to bring Rick Bailiff up. Rick, if you'll join us on the platform as Rick makes his way up here. Rick is currently serving as a deputy with the Guilford County Sheriff's Office. Before that, he was actually with the Greensboro Police Department Reserve for how many years? 30 years. A lot of y'all probably didn't know that, but then, of course, Greensboro PD did away with their reserve program, but he just didn't have enough. So Rick decided that he would go over and serve, and currently is serving today with the Guilford County Sheriff's Department. When he was with Greensboro PD, he achieved the rank of lieutenant, and when he was in BLET, and a lot of people may or may not know what that is, but that's basic law enforcement training. That's essentially what we would know as the academy today, and Rick was his class president of his BLET class more than 30 years ago. We'll say it that way, right? Yeah, more than 30 years ago, okay? So next we want to bring up Monica Queen. Come on up, Monica. Yeah, we'll get you some pictures, hon. We'll get somebody to shoot some pictures. Come on up. Monica, I know a lot of folks have seen her. A lot of folks, particularly if you knew, don't know a whole lot about Monica's background. But Monica retired from the Los Angeles Police Department at the rank of Senior Police Service 1 representative. Her badge was B9871. After 30 years, at the time of her retirement, Monica was serving as the night watch commander at the Communications Division, which is a division comprised of over 600 employees divided between two locations. Monica was the number one in seniority out of approximately 45 supervisors. And as the watch commander, she had direct oversight on her watch of 120 personnel, including six supervisors. Monica was Southern California Supervisor of the Year in 1999 for taking over and adeptly handling a catastrophic 911 failure in a city of over 3 million people. She was named LAPD Supervisor of the Year for Communications in 2008. And I'm not putting that one part in there. During her 30-plus years, she worked details at eight different divisions. LAPD had 18 at the time. They now have 24 divisions. She taught a course for newly appointed sworn, that's communicators, right, WCs? Watch commanders at the police academy. She also worked at the police commission, which is above the chief of police. And as she said, if she had to leave a phone message for a divisional commander, she got the call back almost immediately. They didn't wait around when you're at that position. Monica worked for the 1992 LA riots, despite being nearly 8 months pregnant with Val, doing 12-hour shifts, no days off, as the department was on mobilization status, so she was on pretty much high alert. She was actually on duty during the 1994 earthquake, which at that time was the costliest natural disaster in United States history. She also worked as an administrative assistant to the deputy chief for 4 years. And Monica retired in 2010 after 30 years and 5 months of service. She said she had to make up a little bit of maternity time. And 13 years later, still has employees reach out to her. She is still missed and held in very high esteem with the Los Angeles Police Department Communications Division. So we're so tickled to have her here. Now, like I've said before, how many of you learned something about Monica today? Yeah, this little quiet lady that you see sitting up front can be the boss. There's no problem with that. I do want to mention Chris Sawyer. Chris is not was not able to be with us today. But Chris is a retired officer. He retired from the Fairfax County, Virginia Police Department with the rank of second lieutenant, badge 2221. His duties included patrol, criminal investigation, supervisor, CDU, which is tactical defense that is sent out for riots and other type disturbances. He worked in Resource Management Bureau, which they call RMB, as a project manager, and he received a Team Excellence Award for the new police cruiser design and ergonomic configuration to make the officer's job easier. Chris was also honored, having received the highest grades in his academy class as a cadet, and received the Director's Award for ranking number one in his class. Chris also received a Team Excellence Award for leading the team that arrested a subject wanted by Interpol for several homicides in Serbia. Did you learn something about Chris today? Okay. Now, Blake Carter. I'm pretty familiar with this cat. As Blake makes his way up to the front, he currently serves with North Carolina Probation and Parole. He received his Associate's in Applied Science and Criminal Justice from Randolph Community College and his Bachelor of Science in Criminal Justice, Homeland Security from Liberty University in 2021. He was hired in January 24, 2022 and assigned to Guilford County. Was promoted from officer to SRG gang specialist in December of 2022. He works with the ACE team to hunt down and apprehend fugitive probationers and parolees. He serves on the extradition team to transport offenders to appropriate jurisdictions and is recognized by the state for life-saving efforts performed on an overdose subject in the field earlier this year, as he and another officer went to make a visit only to determine that the offender that they had gone to visit had overdosed, where they went into immediate action with Narcan and performed life-saving efforts to keep that person on this earth until EMS could arrive. So we're proud of him. I am, can't you tell? Finally, Don Proper, one of my buddies that I love so much. And you guys, how many of you all see him? You see him a lot around here, don't you? He is part of our family. excuse me, but Don Proper serves with the Guilford County Sheriff's Office as a deputy. He has 30 years in law enforcement experience, has 13 and a half of those years he spent with the New York Police Department. Don worked in the narcotics division and was a detective for Harlem Central. Don was also on duty and responded to the 9/11 World Trade Center bombing, working in the area of rescue and recovery. For 16 and a half years, he has been with the Guilford County Sheriff's Office, serving in the area of patrol, legal services, 50B domestic violence, on the warrant squad, and serves on the crime repression team. Don also is currently serving with the FBI Safe Streets Task Force. So how many of y'all learned something about the guy who watches your door here just about every Sunday? Do you feel like you're in good hands? Would you join me by appreciating these folks today? Let them know how much that you love and care for them. And we do have something that's a little special for them as well. I always like to do this because everybody knows what this is. Hit it, see if it works. Got volume? Brother, thank you so much, man. Yes, sir. Appreciate you, guy. Little something for you. Rick,
thank you.
Love you, baby. Appreciate you as always, bud. All right, don't you laugh at me now. Yours is more like a paperweight, but got to get our communicator in there. Brother, thank you for all you do, man. Appreciate you. Yours is in the pocket. As always, I love you, man.
One more time, show them how much you love them and appreciation for them.
Thank you, guys. Oh, okay, I will mention this. Rick, he always has to remind me, but I did have the privilege also of serving. It was one of those situations in my life that I said before, God called me into ministry when I was 15 years old, and I knew that. But along the way, you know, between the rest of my high school and then my college career, which I prepared for ministry as I went forward. And, you know, my thing was, when I got out of school, I felt that the Lord was leading me in the area of youth ministry. And, of course, nobody at that particular point wants a 25-year-old single youth pastor to come into their church. So in the meantime, I needed to pay the bills, and I always tell people that I accidentally got a job as a police officer, which with God, there are no accidents, but nonetheless, I was serving with security for Thomas Road, Liberty University, and all those places, and I was actually the watch commander for the third shift. And one of the guys that was working there, criminal justice major, asked me if I would take him down to fill out some papers because Lynchburg PD was hiring. And I told him, sure. I said, when we get off work, I'll take you down there, because his truck was in the shop. So we, I took him down there, and I wasn't going to set out in the car because it was hot. And the fastest paper passer outer I've ever seen in my life was there that day. She could just... And before I could tell her I didn't want an application, I had one. So I thought, well, I'll pass the time away and I'll fill this out. And then the next thing I knew, I was taking a test, and then I was pushing a car, and then I was doing, and then I was in the police academy going, what is going on here? So I had the privilege of serving the citizens of Lynchburg, Virginia in the early 1990s. And I don't say that it was an accident. God put me there because it was at that particular place where I actually learned about the depravity of man. I actually learned about people. I actually learned how desperate people could be and how much love and compassion that they need along the way. So I know what it's like to be on both sides of that badge, and that's why I have a very special appreciation for those who go out and do what they do on a daily basis, that's often done in the background where you don't see them. But I want to, just for a few minutes, because I know that today is one of those days where it's been timely, but we're not going to get out of here without getting some scripture in. So if you've got your Bible, look with me, if you would, at the book of Romans chapter 13, because Romans chapter 13 addresses exactly, you know, what we've done today. We've taken the time to honor those that serve in law enforcement, but this passage applies not only with law enforcement officers, but this also goes along with government officials. Now, a lot of us, we like to complain about our government officials, don't we? We're good at it. I'm one of them. I'll tell you right now, I complain. So, yeah, it's like we got to be careful as we do that as well, because of the scriptures that we're getting ready to read today. So not only with political figures, but also with those who serve as our law enforcement officers. And here's the reason why. Because they have been hired. Our law enforcement folks have been hired. They have been appointed by our government. They stood there and put their hand up, and they have taken an oath, essentially, to uphold the law, to do it with honor, and to do that with integrity. And the laws are what is put forth by the legislation. It's not that a police officer makes it up as they go. They have to go as they go out. When they make an arrest, there has to be a legislative foundation on which to do so. And then there are different and varied rules on what needs to take place. All these things need to be known. So they are functioning as an arm of the government to provide the protection that we need. They are functioning as an arm of the government to serve us, and they do so in such a fashion where they have been less than underappreciated in our society today. So how does Scripture point back to that? We always say the Bible has the answer for everything. Well, look with me if you would. Romans chapter 1, we're just going to deal with a couple of verses today. It says in beginning with verse 1, Romans 13 verse 1, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." I could stop right there. And I could do a whole sermon on that verse, particularly that last part. Look at the latter part of verse 1. It says, "And the authorities that exist are appointed by God." You may not like your political figure. You may not like your local people. You may not like your governing authorities in the state. You may not like it in the country. But let me assure you of this. It did not take God by surprise. They are where they are because God has allowed it. And by the way, that doesn't mean that you'll always like it. It doesn't mean that they're always going to do the things that we like and the things that we want. It doesn't even mean that they're going to do it right. How many times throughout the Bible, and particularly in the Old Testament, do you see where God allowed some things to happen with Israel, allowed them to be oppressed because of their disobedience? Now, we may not like where we are. We may not even like the way the leadership is pointing us. But let me ask you this. Is it our fault? Have we, as Americans, become less than one nation under God? I think so. Have we, as a nation, gotten away from the principles of godliness? I know so. Do we, as a country, as a nation, could we be suffering the consequences of our disobedience? I think so. So you see why this verse is chalked so full of things. But also notice how it starts. It says, "Let every soul," is that you? Yes. Is that me? Yes. "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." You can't read that any other way. Folks, that was in the New King James, and you understand it, don't you? Look at it again. "And the authorities that exist are appointed by God." All these people up here were not just appointed by their department, they were appointed by God Almighty. Does that bring a new perspective to what goes on and what takes place? Your government officials, by the way, they are considered government officials. So then he goes on and he tells us in these particular passages about how that applies to us. So down in verse 2, he says, "Therefore," now we've established that they're governing authorities over us. They've been placed there. They have been appointed by God. So verse 2 says, "Therefore, whoever resists the authority, resist the ordinance of God." That's pretty heavy when you take the time to consider it, isn't it? "Therefore, whoever resists the authority, resist the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves." Now, I can look at that from a law enforcement perspective because, like I said, I was there. You know, if I go up to a particular individual, they have been caught in the midst of a crime, there is probable cause, there is evidence and everything else, then my next thing is to tell them that they are under arrest. You don't have the right to leave. You are going to be coming with me. Now, they've got a choice at that point, don't they? They can go softly or they can go not softly. But let me rest assured that one thing's going to happen. They're going to go. The way they go is their choice. Now, do you see how that related to that verse? Therefore, whoever resists the authority, resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. If I tell a guy, you are under arrest, you need to turn around and put your hands behind your back. As long as he does that, everything goes smoothly. If he decides not to do that, what happens? They bring judgment upon themselves. And usually it's an attitude adjustment. I think it was an old country song back 40 years ago. Remember Attitude Adjustment? Remember, anybody remember that song? Some people get an attitude adjustment right on top of the head. Is the way that tends to work. But see, what does it say? It says, if you resist, you bring judgment upon yourself. That's not just with our police department. That's not just with those officials. Those are with all officials. If you don't pay your taxes, do you think that the IRS is just going to say it's all good? Walk away? No, no, no. You will bring judgment upon yourself. Did you get that key word? On yourself. I had a guy one time that was a repeat offender, and he kept saying, I just don't understand why I'm always here. And I'm like, well, listen, I can help you with that. He said, oh, would you? I said, yes, I can solve it all right now. He said, well, tell me, because I want your help. I said, are you ready? Stop breaking the law. Yeah, trust me, nobody's sitting there with eyeballs on you trying to bring you down. You call attention to yourself when you don't do what you're supposed to do. And they have to do. Yeah, I had a great street rapport with some folks on the street that a lot of other police officers didn't. You know why? Because I told them, I said, this is not personal. This is a job. But here's what you got to understand. I didn't put you in your position. You did. You know you did wrong. You know there's a consequences. I am just the agent to make it happen. And here's something else I learned. That doesn't mean that you don't treat people with respect. I don't care what socioeconomic plane that they are on. I don't care what they've done. When you treat somebody with respect, they will return that respect to you. I could have had the vilest criminal. I still treated him with respect. I actually had people say, well, you know, everybody else treats me bad, but you treat me like a human being. I said, there's a reason for that, because you are. And you deserve to be treated in that fashion and in that manner. Then he goes on and he tells us this. He says, look, if you get in a problem, you're going to bring judgment upon yourself. If you violate the laws, if you step outside of it, you bring judgment upon yourselves. How many of y'all have ever had a speeding ticket? How many of you were guilty of speeding? See, you weren't necessarily, what happened was you were upset because you got caught. You kind of got frustrated with you, didn't you? Because you knew it. But yet, when an officer came up and he says, okay, I'm citing you for this, that, or the other thing, how many times did we try to say, well, that just wasn't me? I would always ask a question, and it was so. I loved the answers I'd get. I'd say, "Well, do you happen to know why I stopped you?" Well, no. You knew you were leaving a vapor trail coming down that street. I have no idea, officer. And see, they sit back and say, "Well, I'm not going to answer that question because it might be used against me." You're probably right. Because if you said, well, I was going a little fast, that's going in the report. But it's about owning your stuff. If I choose to speed, then I choose to realize that if I go around the corner and get caught, it's going to be costly. I don't need to get mad at the police officer who wrote me a ticket because I was violating the law. He's doing his job. So he says we need to be subject to those things. And he says that if you mess up, there's going to be judgment. Now look at verse 3. It says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? That's a question. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Okay, here's the answer. Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Do you understand what that's saying? It says, let me give it to you in a modern day term. If you are driving down the interstate and the speed limit is 70, and you put the cruise control on 70, do you worry when you see a police officer? Why not? You don't worry because you're following the rules. You know, I know what some of y'all slam on the brakes anyway because you're so used to speeding that you forgot that you had the speed, that you had the cruise set on something that was good. But I can tell you, listen, from being there, when I'm running radar and the car comes around the curve and all of a sudden you see the front end do a nosedive, you know what that says? You just saw me and you are busting the law right on up. And you looking guilty. Looking real. But here's what he said. Verse 3 says this. If you drive the speed limit, you don't worry about where the cops sit because you're following the rules. But by the same token, if you're out there running 90, you better be real aware of what's going on. You better be really afraid of what's around that next curve. You know why? Because LIDAR don't lie. And he'll pop you. Y'all picking up the concept? This is elementary, isn't it? It's easy. If you do what's right, you shouldn't be afraid of authority. Now, again, a completely different message for a completely different day, but I think part of the problem is we have taught our children to be afraid of authority, particularly police officers. I've shared this before, but there was one thing, and I know we do this unwittingly at times, but I was in a place one day when I was serving as a police officer, and a lady had a child that was being a little unruly, and she was trying to get his attention. She said, "Well, you better straighten up or I'm going to have him take you away." And I asked her, I said, "Please, please don't tell him that." And I said, "I don't want you to tell him that because you know what's going to happen? You're going to make him afraid of the police officers." I said, "Yeah, you're going to look at it as the guy that's going to drag me away." No, instead, I want them to look at us as the one that they run to when they're in trouble, the one that they run to when they need help, the police officers that run into the gunfire when everybody else is running away from it. When all these shootings take place, the police officers, these people that you saw up here, are the ones that run into those buildings to stop that threat, to risk life and limb and everything else. Why? Because they took an oath to protect and to serve, even if it means costing them their lives. And I served with a bunch of guys that would do that. Now, I'll also say this. I've also seen a bunch of cowards that wear that badge these days. I know that I speak for my fellow police officers up here when I say that. When situations happen, your training tells you what you do, even when it's scary. When somebody goes into a building to do cowardly work, to take the lives of other people, there is one directive to the police officer. And I'm going to put it bluntly, whether you're 1, 10, or 100, you eliminate the threat. That doesn't mean that you just go in there to kill somebody, but if that's what it takes, that's the judgment that's incurred. You don't sit around and try to gain and gather a plan while people are dying. You go into immediate action, even at the risk of your own life. I shared this, I believe it was last year, that when they had that situation in Charlotte, I was proud of our officers in North Carolina. I was proud of the Charlotte PD. I was proud of the campus PD, because all that footage you saw, when you saw the students doing what they were supposed to be doing, going away from the threat, there was a steady stream of law enforcement that were going to it. I was like, "That's my boys right there." And I will tell you that this group of people standing up here would do that exact same thing to this day. Because I know them, and they're cut from a different cloth. So if you're following the rules, you have no reason to be fearful. Verse 3, he goes on and says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil." Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. In other words, not only will they not come down on you, they'll praise you for doing what is good and what is right. Verse 4, "For he is," pay attention, remember what I said. These folks are appointed by the government. This word right here tells us that government authority we are supposed to be subjective to. Verse 4 says, "For he is God's minister." You mean that cop that pulled me over is a minister of God? Yes. That government official is a minister of God? Yes. And you're going, "Well, I'll tell you one thing, there's some of them don't know nothing about God." They didn't get where they were by accident. God knows where they are. God knows who they are. And God even uses ungodly people to bring about his will. But the bottom line is this: you better respect the position, because they have been appointed. God has appointed them in that authority. Verse 4, "For he is God's minister to you for good." All these people around you are God's minister to you for good. But, that's a conjunction, that hooks two thoughts together. But, if you do evil, be afraid. Be afraid. I could just leave it at that, but the scripture doesn't. If you do evil, be afraid. You should be afraid. Remember what I said before? You do one of those cowardly acts, then you should be afraid, because they're coming for you. The bad boys, what you going to do when they come for you? Let me make you a promise. You will lose, and you will lose horribly. I promise. Verse 4, second sentence. "But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil." You see these folks, and you saw some of them standing up here with a sidearm on. That sidearm is for them to execute the wrath of God on those who go out to do evil. Not that they want to do that. That's not what they want to do. But they have been called. They have been appointed. You remember in the Bible one of the things that was said, y'all remember why David wasn't allowed to build the temple? Remember what it said? Too much shed blood on his hands. See, David was a warrior. Remember the song, "Oh, Saul killed his thousands, David killed his 10,000s? Folks, you're free because there were people who were willing to be an agent of God to do what needed to be done so that we could be a free country. That's called the United States military. They stand ready. They're not on standby right now. They're on the job. Our police officers, they're not just on standby. They're on the job. Don't think, "Oh, it's Sunday, I can speed." There's liable to be one right up the road because they're on duty, right? Read that one more time. And then I'll close this out. Verse 4, "For he is God's minister." I would underline that and underline it. When you get mad at it, whether it's your government officials, whether it is your police officers, whatever it may be, he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. "For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil." And finally, therefore, verse 5, "You must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake." You know, you shouldn't just want to not do the wrong thing because you're afraid you'll get caught. You should want to do the right thing because that's what your conscience leads you to do, or what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. You see, part of the reason that you don't know a whole lot about those officers that we have out here is because they don't want you to know about all that stuff that they have to do. They want you to be in here in peace while they watch the door. They want you to be able to enjoy your life while they watch over you. It's kind of funny that I think about every single week, somebody's watching that door. And they're ready to do what's necessary to protect you. I want to close with this. As we've honored our police officers today, there's this. This was written, I'm not sure who it's by. It's an anonymous writer. It's not me. But it says, I am a police officer. It says, I get up in the morning just like you. I drink my coffee just like you. I hug my spouse. I hug my kids. And I say, I love you just like you. But I never know if I'll come home at the end of my shift. I am a police officer. I get into my squad car. I set my own self-interest aside. I put myself in danger to keep you safe. Your security is my responsibility. I protect, I serve. I'll give my life to save yours. I am a police officer. I break up gang fights. I bust drug rings. I stop murders. Somebody has to. I get yelled at and spit on. I get called names and I get cursed. I get death threats and complaints. I am a police officer. I don't do it for the pay. I don't do it for the recognition. I don't do it for the peace of mind. I do it because I believe in the law, in justice, in peace. I love what I do. I deal with the insults. I endure the assaults. I suffer the stress so you don't have to. I am a police officer. I am human just like you. I have feelings just like you. But where I encounter violence, I bring peace. Where I meet danger, I bring safety. Where I see weakness, I bring strength. I am a police officer. I am proud to wear this badge. I am honored to protect my community. This is my calling. This is my life. I hold strong the blue line. My brothers who've fallen, I honor each day. The sacrifice they made, we'll never forget. This is my duty and the burden that I carry. I am a police officer. I hope and pray that we understand and that we see them in a different light today. They love to see you shake their hand, give them a hug, have a conversation, but they always stand ready to do what is right, even if it means to you. Kind of like that smack on the hand. Some of us have been in that position before where you've been elevated to a position and somebody thought their friendship should give them a break. No. It's kind of like, I'll be the best friend you got, but if you step across this line, it's up to me to put you back across that line. I hope and trust and pray that with a new respect, we will go forward, that we will honor our police. You see, right now, I will tell you this, there are, I believe, it's over 100 open positions in the Greensboro Police Department that they cannot fill. There are somewhere around 80 to 90 in the sheriff's office that they cannot fill because nobody wants to do the job because the total lack of respect from the public that they get in this day and age. May we be encouragers and those that lift up those who serve us, who protect us. Brad, I'm going to ask you guys to come on up and take your place. I'm reminded of a story of an officer who lost his life in the line of duty. He was a Christian. Matter of fact, he actually was a pastor as well. He lost his life at an abortion clinic doing his job. Even though he didn't believe in abortion, even though he said that it violated the commandments, even though he said it was to take the life of a young child, when things went sideways there, he was there to protect the citizens that were at that place. And he did his job just as he was supposed to, and it cost him his very life. But you know what? He wants to be remembered for just that. He did his duty. How you feel about this, that, or the other thing, it was a crime to go kill somebody else, even if you don't agree with their position on something. Can we not have a discussion in America anymore? I think the answer to that question is no. We should be able to. We still should be able to agree to disagree. But yet, we see loss of life. And a man who didn't even believe in abortion lost his life protecting those who did, because he protected the law. You think about that. The decisions that have to be made by these guys every day, because they believe in it. I want our guys and gals to know that we've got their back in prayer. Every day. I don't want to be doing funerals. I'd rather be there at the good times in life. And therefore, I ask God to protect them, to watch over them, to give them safety. But I also make this prayer. I said, Lord, I pray for our guys that they don't have to go out and fight tonight. But if they do, then I pray that you will give them the power of a mule's kick. Now, Lord, I pray that they don't have to deploy that firearm. But if they do, I pray that you'll give them the accuracy of William Tell. That they will come back home to their families, to their church family safely. I've always said this. They can teach you 1,000 ways to kill a man, but they can't teach you how to live the rest of your life with it. Whether good, bad, right, wrong, indifferent, or otherwise. Those guys carry that with them for the rest of their life if they have to. But they went home to their little babies, to be able to see them grow up and graduate and get married and those sort of things. But they carry that burden with them every day. That's what I pray for them. And I'll tell you why. Because I've been on both sides of that badge. And that's what I want somebody praying for me. The Holy Spirit kept me out of a lot of trouble. I go get ready to open the door, and the Holy Spirit goes, I wouldn't do that. And I'm like, maybe there's something to this. And 100% of the time, there was. Don't go in that door, Roy. Go around the other way. Why? I think the Holy Spirit sometimes goes, just listen. I went around to the back. What did we do? We surprised a bunch of them that were waiting to ambush us. We came in behind them. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit tipped us off. That's how he works. He knows I wouldn't have been able to have done it. He said, I got to watch over this kid like nothing. And I believe that I am here today because God said, I'm going to let you see. I'm going to let you be a warrior for a while, but I'm not going to put you in a battle that's going to put you in a position of David. You've got clean hands, but you've experienced both sides. For that, I'm grateful. Will you make it a pledge to pray, not only for our law enforcement officers, those within our community, those around the world, but would you also pray for our government officials? Even if you don't like them, pray for them, because God put them there. God put them there. That's hard. Sometimes that's hard for me to wrap my brain around, isn't it, you? But he has. And we're subject to their authority. Things can change during election times, can't they? Well, vote biblical. Oh, the preacher's talking about politics. We're going to go after their 501c3. No, I just told you to vote biblical convictions. And if you do that, everything will be right. I'm not telling you to vote Democrat, Republican, Tea Party, Coffee Party, Soda Party, whatever. I don't care. Vote biblical convictions. Can we do that? Because that's who we are. It's who we should be. Now, What does all this have to do with Jesus? He is the author and finisher of our faith. And salvation's not just something that you do. It's something you become. Have you trusted Jesus? Do you know him? Has there been that time you've given your life over to him and said, Lord, I am serving you. My life is no longer mine but yours. Have you called upon his name? Have you prayed and said, God, I know I'm a sinner and I need you as my Savior and I'm trusting you today. That's not the end of it if you do. That's the beginning. He says, then you walk like one of the family members. There's a family rule book. It's called the Holy Bible. And it gives you the answers. It tells you how you should walk and how you should represent the Master. Are you representing him? If you know him, first of all, are you representing him? I still say hell's going to be full of church people because they were more religious than they were Christian. They had a form of religion, but they didn't know Jesus. Have you trusted him? Do you know him? If you have, are you following him? Will you pray? I mean, I know this is a different kind of service, but I think our folks need to be honored. They need to know we love them. The same way as our military, which we will do as we go forward. They need to know their sacrifice or their preparation for sacrifice is not in vain. What is it that you need to do? I'm going to ask you to do it right now as the Holy Spirit has convicted your heart. Our altar is always open. I know that's not the cool thing to do today, but you know what? I'm old-fashioned and so's the altar, and I still think it's a great place. If you need it, it's here. If you need me, I'm here. What decision has God put on your heart? You deal with it right now. Don't let it go. As we stand and as we prepare to sing our invitation hymn, as Brad comes to lead us. Bow your head as you seek the Lord. Is everything right now? Can you walk out of here with a clear conscience that you are exactly where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do, that your salvation is secured through Jesus Christ? Listen, don't let these moments pass away. As you continue to seek him and do his will, I'm going to ask that our ushers come forward as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering for him. Father, we thank you so much for provision that you provide each and every one of us, Lord, not just monetarily, but in so many other facets of going through our daily lives. Lord, this is a time of worship as well, that time that you have called us to give back just that small, small portion of what you have given us. And Lord, I pray that we could truly be found faithful in doing so, that your work may go forward. But Lord, not just that your work may go forward, but that we might be blessed by being obedient to what you've called us to do in your word. So right now we ask that you would bless the gift and the giver, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you, Vicki. Just a couple things. Listen, May's calendar always gets a little crazy. David's going to let us know a little bit about that in just a minute. Thank you for the little extra time today. I started off this morning over in Awaken service. We did a recognition for their officers over there as well. Just a couple quick reminders. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. So be sure not to forget Mom. I'm warning you right now, don't do that. That's not going to be good for your health or anything else. Mother's Day next Sunday. The Sunday after that is homecoming. We will be doing homecoming like we normally do. We will be over in the other building. We'll do it around the tables. We will have a meal, and Awaken Church will actually be joining us for our homecoming. We will do this together. We actually asked them today if they have any folks that would like to sing in the choir that's going to sing that day to be here at 4:45 today. So mentioned that. Jim, I think, has mentioned that as well. So we look forward to a time of homecoming celebration coming up. Don't forget tonight. Listen, don't cut and run on us tonight, because David's going to say, we're not going to be having Bible study tonight. The reason we're not having Bible study tonight is because we're doing our Awana Awards. Please don't just take that and say, oh, well, that's not me. I'm just going to skip tonight. Listen, we need to honor those kids for as hard as they've studied to learn those verses and everything. It will probably be even shorter than David tonight. We're going to give the kids awards. We're going to be doing that over here in the multi-purpose building at 6 o'clock. So be sure to come out and support the kids as we wind up our Awana year and present them with their awards. There's probably a bunch of stuff I've completely forgotten. I always do, but I'm thankful for David. David, come on up. Let us know what I've forgotten and what we need to know, and then pray us out of here.
All right, ladies, I'm not going to read all the information that's in the bulletin about, but three of major things in our bulletin today are about ladies' events. So you be sure to get a bulletin, take one home with you, and look at it. There's some sign-up sheets out in the back for things. A lot of things going on in our church in the life of the ladies. We've got the tea that you can join Awaken for on Saturday. There is a new study, a 12-week study, starting in Bible study on Sunday morning at 9:30 that Maury Kelly is leading. It's got a long title of a book. She's going to facilitate the study of that book. You can read that better than I can find it and read it to you. A lot of things coming up. One of the things kind of down the road a little ways is our 4th of July Patriotic Concert. We always have it here around the 4th of July. This year it's going to be on Saturday, July the 1st, in the gym, hot dogs and apple pie. And I'm sure your dad will be here to help us eat the hot dogs. Tom's famous for that. When we were doing upward basketball and he was the referee for basketball, he'd come in every Saturday afternoon at the end of the day. How many hot dogs you got left? 12, 13, I'll take them. Okay. He's really good at that. A lot of good things going on in the life of our church. Take that bulletin, make sure you get one every week, read it, pay attention to what's going on. Get plugged in, get involved. You don't really get the benefit from your church if you're not involved in what's going on. Let me pray for you before we leave. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of being here today. We thank you for these who give their life and have given their life in the past, and many others, Father, that are friends and family of people who are gathered here today. Lord, who these men and women have given their life for our protection, and we thank you and praise you for the life of service that they have given. Lord, we pray that you'll bless them, those who are still involved in it. Lord, we pray that you'll watch over them, protect them, give them wisdom that they need to make it through every day and come back home to their families. Now, Lord, make us a witness wherever we go. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to share Jesus with those we come in contact with. We ask it in his name. Amen.